It's a blessing to be here. The subject that we will be addressing, it brought to our mind because we have talked about the gifts of the Spirit before, if you remember. We talked also about accountability. We talk about consequences. And we talk about fear and faith, faith over fear. And today we will be talking about adversity. Anybody here does not know what adversity is? I see one hand, a little one that was just singing in front here, very bravely rolls his hand and says, I have no clue what adversity is. Sadly, you will find out. Every human being, sooner or later, finds out what is adversity. We are doomed to face it. And most of us already have faced it without even recognizing that it is an adversity. Sometimes we do not realize that not only humans go through adversity, but everything created in this planet is suffering the consequences of that door that was open, called disobedience. When that door was unlocked, all adversities came through. Why? Because the individual that brings adversity came in. He became a guest, a permanent guest, until the day when he will face his own adversity. Now, the bulletin. Do you have the bulletin? Some of you do. If you look up this picture, you'll find there is a little bit difference than the one that is online and the one that I put here on the cover. The one you find online is the hammer that is striking life. It says adversity. But I changed the word adversity there because this will be the heart of our message today. Who really is striking life? The adversary, not adversity. Okay? So we'll be talking about this today. Today's message, as we mentioned, adversity. What is this big word? What is the meaning of this word? A state of or instance of serious or continuous difficulty. In a simpler way, anything that is a trouble, any trouble, any affliction, any health, relationship, or any kind of things that comes and shake your normal and makes things uneasy for you, it is part of what we call adversity. It comes from the Latin adversus, literally turning against, and of course, something that is hostile, something that is competing, trying to defeat you. I don't know how many of you here, anybody here watch soccer games? Be brave. That's fine. It depends on what kind of passion you put in it. If you put too much passion, then can be something wrong. But if you just use as entertain. Or what about basketball? Right? Basketball games? Some of you do. Volleyball, tennis, I enjoy watch tennis. And every time you have the name of one person, then when it's listed the name of the person, then there is an X, and then there is the name of the other person. What does that X stands for? What do you think that X means? For example, let's see, there's a name of the individual or a name of a team, Dallas Cowboys. And then there is an X, and then it says LA Rams. Meaning this team is going to play against that team. The word, the X there means against, the one who opposes. So they will be competing. The idea is for one team to do everything possible by the rules and sometimes breaking the rules in order to defeat the other team, right? So what happens when talk about football, not soccer, but football, they try to hurt the quarterback. Why? Because he is the big threat to my team. If we bring him down and send him to the corner and take him out of the game, we increase our chances to defeat them. So in other words, they are our adversary. I knew that I was going to mess up those. And so they are the ones who are against us, we are against them, and so there's this conflict. Life is just the same. There are things that are wants to defeat us at all cost, and they will do anything possible to try to weaken our defenses, to try to mess up our minds. Another thing, if you watch soccer, if you watch all the sports, what happens when a team plays at home? I heard something. What happens when a team plays at home? They have an advantage, right? Why? Because all that support help them mentally to give more, to be more committed. So they put more energy. And so they call the 12 men, or women in this case, the 12-1, meaning a team is playing with one extra player. So they increase their chances to defeat the other team. And that's what it happens. In life, it's not any different. Okay? When things seem against you, circumstance or bad situations, you are facing adversity. All of us, this is not bad news, this is just news. All of us will face, are facing, and will be until the day we fall asleep and wait for the Lord, we will be facing adversity. The reason is important for us to know, how do I face this enemy that is coming my way, no matter what? Here's the word again. Can you say with me? Adversity. There is another word. And that's what I put here. The art that you see in the bulletin actually had the word adversity. The artist put adversity. I took the word adversity out and I put the one who really brings adversity. The adversary. Okay? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, we will have quite a few Bible verses today. So I'm going to be a little bit faster here, but I want everybody, please, nobody take a nap, okay? Because then you're going to have adversity. Be on guard and stay awake. Can you say awake?
Awake.
If you're saying awake, you are awake. Yes. Your enemy, the one who does evil, that's what I call the devil, the one who does evil, is like a lion. What kind of lion? Those from Africa here, they can relate to this very well. They know. Remember that Brother Kisaka, one children's story here, he sent some of these big lions very close by their jeep, you know, when they were there. It's like a lion. Just wait for, you know, they don't discriminate. You know, they eat anything. So if you give it any sneaking to find someone to attack. I remember when I was a teenager, I was attending a Seventh-day Adventist school. And on the every Friday before the sunset, we had somebody who would put in our dorm, right in a hallway, put some pictures and put some nice words for us when we passed by to go to our room. We will read like a devotion, like to inspire us to, this is the Sabbath that is about to begin. So an individual called Ezra, the same one who gave me the Bible, the same one who helped me to become a Seventh-day Adventist, in a very innocent way, he pulled some pictures. The picture that he posed was an actual lion attacking a tourist. That in his foolishness, he got out of the jeep and walked towards the lions. Because they looked like they were sleeping, calm, and everything else. And so he came very close to take pictures. And one came from the back. And the picture showed. And the person took all the pictures. And how those pictures were even published, I have no idea why. But this friend of ours, the one who was monitoring, take care of the discipline in our boys' dorm, he decided to put those pictures and put this text under. It made me sick. I couldn't see. I cannot even look at the picture. So I went straight to him. I said, Ezra, those pictures make people sick. I know what you mean, but it's very disturbing. And immediately, very kind, he was a very wonderful man. Immediately, he went and removed all the pictures. It is very, very important for us to realize the enemy, the adversary, it is looking for any opportunity to grab us. And what he does, he sends us adversities to distract us and to make us not weak to resist his tricks. But you must resist the devil, the one who does evil, and stay strong in your faith. The key element is the faith. You know that all over the world, the Lord's followers are suffering just as you. Sometimes people say, sometimes we feel like saying, grow up. There are people who cry for so little. What about when you cry for so little, the devil says, so I have to increase the pressure because it looks like this person is going to give in very easily. So let me, don't encourage him. So when you have some situation in your life, put faith in charge. When you put in faith in charge, anxieties, depression, stress, all walk out. The way you push those things out of your life is have confidence in the one who created you and the one who keeps watching over you. Don't give the devil such an opportunity to inflict you with even greater adversity. Everyone suffers. People like you that have the same faith that you have all around the world, they are suffering as well. There in Hawaii is coming to my mind, there in Ukraine, and every part of the world, every corner of the world, there is somebody suffering greater pain than you have to face. Some people, some of our children, they look at the plate when they about to eat. I don't know, moms, you can relate to this. You look at the place, mom, why can't we have this for? What I recommend for you is that take one of those pictures of a people that is starving somewhere and give to their child. Says, look at this, contemplate this for a little bit. I can guarantee you at this time, if I make a phone call, that child will be here to replace you. Will be very, extremely happy to eat what you are trying to throw in the trash. And let me say something here that I have said this before. Brothers and sisters, do not let your child, during a lunch, fill the plate with what they do not plan to eat. Take two bites and put that food on the trash, a food that you ask a blessing from God to that food. Don't do this. Don't do this, because if you do this, you're teaching your child to waste God's blessings. Put in your plate only what you, it's better for you to go home hungry than to make other people hungry because you waste God's blessings. Don't do this. Don't put food on the trash. Food does not belong in the trash. There are too many people around the world that are going through very severe situation without having food or water or anything to drink. Don't let your child waste. They waste today, they're going to be poor tomorrow. Every child that you raise that is so waste things, they're going to be poor someday in their lives. The secret of having is respect for what you receive. When you have respect for what you receive, you become great in life because you will respect things, you will respect people, you will respect the blessings, and you will know how blessed you are. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That's Proverbs 24, verse 10 says, if you faint, it's because you don't have a lot of faith. So don't faint. Paul says, and this is one that you have, every one of you have to have this. Please take a note of this, because this is a verse you have to visit this afternoon again. Okay? Visit this and study this carefully. It is one of the most precious Bible verses for me when I deal with suffering, when I deal with adversity. Every test, in the regional here, and we have one person here present that speaks Greek. I'm not going to try to, I don't know if the pronunciation will be correct, but peraiso. I don't know if that's the pronunciation correct, but it is a word in Greek that says to test, to prove, to afflict, to tempt. And that's the word here. It says every test or every affliction, every adversity that you have to experience is the same thing that all the human beings will experience as well. We all gonna go through it sooner or later. We will have to go through it. But God keeps His promise. What is the promise that God keeps? That's one of them. What is the promise? The promise comes here. It says, and He will not allow you to be afflicted. The adversity that you will come will not be greater than the strength that He has given you. Why? Because He wants you to remain firm. He wants to be a winner. He wants you to win. He says, at the time you are put to the test, at the time adversity comes, He will give you the strength to endure it. Now, here is the point that I want to call your attention. Is God the one who is sending the adversity, or is God is the one who is watching the adversary so He does not afflict you beyond what you can stand? Who is doing what? You haven't figured out yet? He says, God is controlling the bad, the one who does evil, not to afflict you beyond your strength. Why? Because He is your Abba. He's your Creator. But because we live in a world where evil is, He cannot avoid for us from being afflicted one way or the other. So all He does, He controls the adversary so that our adversity is not greater than what we can stand. And then He says, and so provide you with a way out. Now, brother, you can take that picture again, because now is the complete the verse. He says, He will provide you a way out. I was reading an insurance document, and over there I found, amazed that I found in one of the clause, it says that the insurance will not reimburse you for acts of God. Meaning, the adversities that comes from God, we cannot reimburse you for that one. And you know that it's true. You can research. In Texas, one atheist wrote a lawsuit against God because he tried to recover a claim, because he went to his insurance. His insurance said no, it's an act of God. And they says, no, how can I collect? He says, sue him. So he did, the guy sued the God, and he came before the judge, and the judge told him, the case is dismissed. He said, how come, your honor? He says, because the plaintiff is not showing up. God was there, but the judge and the atheist could not see because he's an atheist. And a fool says there is no God, so they couldn't see him. I can see him, you can see him, but they can't. And so, an act of God, no, this is a lie. It has been a lie that was planted in the heart of Adam and Eve, and is a lie that has been planted even today in the heart of preachers. They are going to the pulpit and keep telling people, oh, by the way, if you're going through this adversity, it's because God has a good purpose for it. He wants to refine you, meaning he is okay for him to be evil a little bit so that as long as he brings good out of you. That is a lie. God, there's no communion between light and darkness. God is not evil. God cannot afflict you. He is afflicted when you are afflicted, but he does not afflict you. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come in your way, consider it an opportunity for a great joy. Meaning, not joy with the pain. That's not what it's not trying to ask you to be a masochist. It's not telling you to enjoy suffering. What it's trying to say is that when suffering comes, when the devil sends you trouble, that is an opportunity for you to show the devil who you are and who is your father, what kind of person you are, what kind of faith you have. It is an opportunity for you. And James says this in verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested or adversity comes, your endurance has a chance to grow. And then verse 4, he says, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You will have no need for anything else when you are complete. When people are tempted or afflicted, or when adversity comes in your life, don't go around saying, oh, this adversity is coming from God. Because God does not afflict anybody. Did you hear that? When you're going through trouble, don't think, oh, could it be because I did not return tithe and that's why I lost my job? Oh, it could be that because I ate something that I shouldn't. I have this awful pain. Or I go to the doctor says, you're suffering of this. Who should be because I did this? Of course, there is consequence for every action that we take in this life. But many of the adversities that comes to our life has nothing to do with what we did. It has to do that we are part of a great conflict between good and evil. So when you are afflicted, say clearly, clearly, that it's not from God. Okay? Now, we have troubles all around us, but we are not defeated. We have trouble around us, but because of our faith, we are not defeated. It says here, we do not know what to do, but we do not give up the hope of living. That 2 Corinthians verse 9 says, we are persecuted. And by the way, they're all killed, except John. All of them were killed. And some, the Bible does not mention, but probably family members were all killed as well. Thousands. It is estimated, I read once when estimated, that the Roman church, just with the so-called Inquisition, killed more than 150 million people all around the globe. Because they had the power, and they did. Do you know why the Jewish people were persecuted? in many different places, like Nazi Germany. They were persecuted. They were persecuted in Rome as well. They were persecuted in many places. After the communists took over, after they defeated Hitler, the communists put men, they continued doing harm to the Jewish people that live in the Soviet Union. Sometimes they left, allowed them to leave, so they went to Israel. But many were not. Many were put in prison and all their property taken and everything else. Why all this hate against God's people? Why all this adversity? Because today we have more people among Jewish people that is atheist than any other group. Did you know that? Well, those are supposed to be God's people because all the adversity they were sending their way, they kept asking, Yahweh, where are you? Yahweh, where are you? When they were hungry, when they were tortured, when they were abused, they kept asking, Yahweh, why don't you deliver us? And that's why the adversary wants adversity as a tool to make atheists, to make people that are desperate because they have no God to go to. Now, he says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who that are called according to God's purpose. Romans 8:28. Now, I know that it is to be poor or to have plenty, and I have lived under all kinds of conditions. That's what Paul is saying. I know what it means to be full or to be full or to be hungry, to have too much or too little. By the way, I agree with I went through all this except the part he says to have too much. I never have too much. I always have plenty, but not too much. But he says, I have learned to all this. I have going through all this. Christ gives me the strength to face anything. Would you say this with Paul? Christ gives me the strength to face anything. Would you like to say with him? Say it. Christ gives me the strength to face anything. Anything. Very clear. Now, here is one that I put in this order because I want this verse to be a conclusion of what Paul said before. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Do you know what the word to be content means? Satisfied. You are satisfied not for what you lack. You are satisfied because what the hope that you have in your heart, that you will by faith receive what you need. Now, in Joshua 1 verse 9, everybody knows this verse very well. This is my command to you, my brothers and sisters, this morning. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When adversity comes in your way, show adversity your faith, and the adversary will move away from you. It is James who said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'll paraphrase this verse by saying, submit yourself to God. Trust him. Let him guide your life. Resist the one who is trying to afflict you, the one who is bringing all the adversity against you. Resist the adversary, and the adversary will walk away from you. Psalm 34, verse 19. Good people suffer. I read a book written by a Jewish rabbi. His son was born, and suddenly he was healthy, everything. But then something happens. The son started developing a disease that I don't know the name now, that ages fast. So the boy was only 6 or 7 years old and was actually looking older than his grandfather. Aged so fast. and died, in a few months died. And so he wrote this book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And he was, even though a rabbi, but he was not a theologian, you know, per se. And he explains in his book his feeling as a believer in God, as a parent, dealing with a situation that was beyond his control. He said, I love my son more than anything in life. And why is this happening to my child? Brothers and sisters, be patient. The Lord will come. So be patient till that time. Look at the farmers. You know, they have patience. They have to wait for the rain in the proper time, when the rain will come, before they have their harvest. They wait patiently for the first rain and also for the last rain. You must be patient too. Never stop hoping. The Lord is coming soon. Brothers and sisters, follow the example of the prophets who spoke from the Lord. They suffered many, many bad things. They have to go through adversity, every single one of them. But they were patient. And we say that those who accept their troubles with patience now have God's blessing. Isn't that wonderful? Those words, how? It says, you have heard about Job's patience, haven't you? If you open your Bibles, you don't need to, but if you open Bibles in the book of Job, you'll find adversary mentioned from verse 6 to verse 12 in chapter 1. And he disappears. And you go for 41 more chapters reading about why Job asking why. And by the way, he received 3 church members that came to visit him. And doesn't say there that he brought food. It doesn't say there that they brought comfort. All that says there that they came to try to tell him, you think you're so good, right? Look how you must be bad, because look what the Lord is doing to you. And they kept going on and on. And Job says, no, I don't think so. Oh, yes. No, yes, yes, yes. You are not as good as you think you are. And go on and on. And then Job started talking to God. And one of the verses in Job that is of awesome comfort to me is when Job said, I used to know you only by hearing, but now my eyes see you. Sometimes adversity, people think that adversity is caused by God, because sometimes out of adversity, we grow. We become better instead of bitter. But not God who sent adversity. What God does is when the Satan sends adversity in order to bring you down, God gives you faith to bring you up. Let me continue reading. You know that after all his troubles, what it says there? The Lord helped him. The Lord was not the one who brought anything against Job, but the blessings. The Lord does not bring anything to your life, but blessings. Oh, I was hoping to have the strongest amen ever. Let me repeat to give you a second chance. I believe in second chance. The Lord has never brought you anything but blessings. Amen. Nothing else but blessings. Amen. Okay, we get it there. This shows that the Lord is full of mercy and is kind. That is the Lord that I worship, and that's the Lord that I want you to worship. Amen. That is the God that I see here. That is the God that changed my life, and that's the God that I want to see.
Amen.
That's why I'm preaching to you the same God that Jesus came to show you. He says, if you see me, you see my Father. When you look in the first 39 books of the Bible, you see a very shady picture of God. That's because of culture. That's because of exposure to paganism. But when Jesus Christ comes, he filters all that that was brought against God. And he clearly showed to us, God is not the adversary. God is not the one who caused adversity. God is the one who is kind, who is merciful, who is full of grace. If you see him, you see me. Every time you read any book or any statement in the first part of the Bible, the first 39, I ask you to do something, and that's the same thing the Holy Spirit will ask you to do it. When you're reading a chapter that says, and God brought this anger upon this person, invite Jesus to come in. Say, Jesus, come. Let me borrow your eyes so I can see this with your eyes. And then you see who is doing what. And God will be always very attractive to you. Always be joyful.
Amen.
Never stop praying. Amen. Be thankful in every single circumstance, no matter what trouble you come. For this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May God bless you, give you the strength to deal with the adversity that will come in your life. But remember, believers all over the world are going through the same thing.
Amen.
But there is one thing. Faith at the end always wins.
Amen.
God bless.